La Jolla, California, UC San Diego Athletics presents TritonCast, the podcast for the UC San Diego Tritons. Here are your hosts, Jeff Toriel and Jenny Stevens.
Welcome to episode number 30 of TritonCast, the podcast for UC San Diego Athletics. Alongside my co-host, Jenny Stevens, I'm Jeff Toriel. Whether you found us on UCSDTritons.com or your favorite podcast platform, we're so happy you've joined us this week. If you like what you hear, do us a favor and subscribe, rate the show, and write a brief review.
Coming up in this week's Triton Spotlight, we'll chat with senior Gabe Hadley of the men's basketball team. The Australian native tells us how he got to UC San Diego from halfway around the world. Hadley also shares how it's been helpful having a couple of his fellow countrymen with him in the program. Plus, we'll talk the Division I and Big West Conference transition. And later, Gabe is in the hot seat for our popular Quick Pick segment. Our conversation with Gabe Hadley comes your way shortly in today's Triton Spotlight.
But first, we go around campus. The annual Spirit Night is upon us. Festivities culminate on Friday night with this year's virtual event. You can check out a full schedule and all the details at UCSDTritons.com. Triton Athletics has partnered with UC San Diego Housing, Dining, and Hospitality, or HDH, to create a special Triton Tide game day menu each Friday and Saturday this quarter. Ordering from this special menu, which sounds fantastic, by the way, will earn students additional loyalty points. All the details on that partnership can be found online. Plus, the men's and women's basketball teams are scheduled to face UC Davis this weekend. You can find video links, stats, and more on the website.
Those wings from the Triton Tide menu look so good.
Do they
definitely
deliver?
For a treat. I sure hope so. Now it's on to this week's Triton Spotlight. Here's our conversation with UC San Diego basketball senior, Gabe Hadley.
Gabe, how old were you when you started playing basketball?
I think I would have been around 12 years old, maybe. It was grade four, grade three of elementary school, primary school. I would have been about 12, 13 years old.
Was that just something that happened, or did you have a particular interest?
No, it just came up as like a school sport. Like, you started playing school basketball, you grade three and four. Like, it was the start of like elementary basketball, like playing teams, playing against other primary schools. So then we just put a team together, one that played sport, and I played every sport I could when I was younger, and so that was just another one I started playing.
At that age, or roughly at that age, what were your favorites to play?
My favorites would have been, I love soccer at the time. I was a big soccer fan. I love soccer. I played football, but I wasn't never big on football. Basketball was, by the time I was grade 5, 6, basketball was my favorite sport, and I did that the most. But I played tennis too, cricket.
And is the basketball that you played, I mean, is that roughly the same sport that we know here in the States?
Yeah. Same basketball concepts. Yeah, all the same.
And how quickly did you realize, or when did you get pretty good at it?
Well, I was fairly tall for my age when I was younger, so it was a lot easier for me to be better at basketball when I was just taller than everyone else, and you know, I could catch the ball. That was all you had to do,
right?
When you were that young, and you just say you're good at the game. But so then I kept playing, and I kept growing, and I was always one of the tallest in my class. And then, I mean, in the basketball world now, I'm not very tall. I'm one of the smaller people, but I was tall back then. So I kept playing basketball, and I made a few teams, like young teams, like representative teams for like Northwest Tasmania and then Tasmanian teams. And then figured I was pretty decent at it, and then stuck to it.
How competitive was the sport? I mean, was that something that you were taking pretty seriously, or was it more recreational?
No, I started taking it really serious around grade six. I started getting into some like advanced, I can't remember the names, like high performance programs. I started practicing with those kind of players, and I was practicing people a lot older than I was, and I was pretty I don't know, it took up all of my days, really. It was kind of 7 days a week kind of thing. And twice a day, when I was, twice a day, 7 days a week. When I was younger, yeah, we were with practices.
You competed on the state team for Tasmania, as you mentioned a moment ago. What was that process like getting selected to compete for them?
There was like tryouts. That was a long time ago now. The first one when I was like 16 years old, I was under 16. So I was like 14 on the first one. You could try out. It was like 2 years. You were a bottom age or a top age. And I was like, would have been like 100 people trying out for the state team. And then I would have certain like cuts and like, they would just slim the numbers down until it basically became like the 10 players and then like the 5 reserves and then did practice until the nationals.
And those nationals, how competitive was that? I mean, were you guys good?
They were really competitive. Tasmania was never great because we're a small state, very small. So we're like the biggest state, you know, more population, more talent and all that. But... one of my years was very competitive. My first year was the most competitive one, playing for Tasmania. We got into the bronze medal game and we unfortunately lost that. I can't even remember who we lost to in the end. That's so long ago. But we lost and we came fourth, so we didn't win the bronze medal. We would have been one of the only Tasmanian teams to have won a bronze medal. They don't win any championships, but the... basketball and the nationals itself is very competitive, as that's where like most people get recruited to go to college, and that's where college recruits would have first seen me and all the other Australians that go to college.
Was there a moment that you can recall, or a time when you decided you wanted to pursue playing basketball to further your education, specifically in the United States?
It was kind of the pathway that the coaches would push us towards, and a lot of the older players that I would play with and I'm really good friends with did it before me. So that was kind of the pathway. And college sports in Australia isn't really a thing. There's no money invested like America has in sports, especially in basketball. So the aspect of like a college education and playing for a university team isn't really an Australian thing. That's why we do it and we go to America to play, to get a great education and great competitive basketball.
We'll come back to that in just a moment because I definitely have some follow-ups. But ultimately, you ended up playing on the state team in Victoria. What was that process like, kind of making that move from Tasmania?
Well, I nearly did it once, and I went to like the Victorian tryouts, and I was going to go, but then the Tasmanian state team convinced me to stay in Tasmania and play for them. And so I only stayed one more year, and I played on that Tasmanian team. And then the next year, I made the decision to go to Victoria. So I kind of knew what I was doing, what I was up for. And I just had a lot of contacts that had already been in Tasmania and moved to Victoria. So it was smooth. It was easy to get to Tasmania, Victoria and I already had friends that went to the high school that I was going to as well, which made it really easy. They'd all done it before me and just showed me how to do it. So it wasn't too difficult to change.
And that Victoria team, you talked about population and obviously having more talent to draw from, but that Victoria team was pretty good, right?
Yeah, that Victoria team was really good. I've played 3 years on Victorian teams. I can't remember. We always finished top four. We're really good. And one of the years, the year I played with Hugh, we came second and we got a silver medal. And that was to one of the best Victorian teams that has been put together. They're a really good team, the team we lost to.
Such a small world that your teammate at that time, Hugh Baxter, thousands and thousands of miles and a couple of stops later, your teammates again. That's pretty cool.
Yeah. That's crazy how it worked out. It's really a small world if you think about it, but it was good. It's been good.
What were those dinner table conversations with family like in terms of, hey, I really might go way over there to get an education and play ball?
I don't know the conversation that came up like that, but it was just kind of the pathway, I guess. And they asked me if I wanted to do it, and I said, yeah, I'd really love to. And they said, well, you better take it seriously then and take your education seriously, get the grades good enough to go over and take the basketball seriously. And I did, and they supported me as much as they could. And they gave me a great opportunity, and I'm very thankful for my parents for letting me do all of this and supporting me. They never had a word against it. They supported me all the way. It was good.
So you began your collegiate career at New Mexico State. How did they find you, or why did you choose them? How did that come about?
I'm not entirely sure how they found me. It's kind of just, I mean, a lot of colleges reach out and you wonder how they do find you. And sometimes they mention how they do, and sometimes they don't. They never really did. But I think it was through an organization or company. I'm not sure what they call themselves right now, but it's like a AUSA Hoops. It's kind of like the people that help young Australians get from Australia to America, as they have done it before, and they just wanted to make an easier pathway, so they help people get there. I think they might have mentioned my name to them or shown them some footage of me, and they liked what they saw, so they reached out. And yeah, that was kind of how it happened.
And when you're researching colleges at that time, besides Google, I mean, what are you doing to find out information about where you might, you know, further your education and spend a significant amount of time?
Well, there are a lot of Australians throughout college basketball, and if you're in the Australian basketball community, you kind of know a lot of Australian basketball, so I know a fair few people over here, so I kind of get information from them, and then they know coaches, and then they ask other coaches and get back to us. So it's kind of easy to find out. So I had people that went to UNM, to New Mexico, which was above it, and I found out from them what the place was like. And there was another Australian at New Mexico State, but he got there at the same time I did. I didn't know him beforehand. But yeah, it was, what was the question that started off with again? Sorry.
I said, how did you find out information about colleges to help you make your decision?
Google. Yes. You said, reaching out to friends that were already over here, talking to coaches that were talking to me, like they were trying to find the information through them. And I got to take visits, which make it easier to make a decision. If you want to go to the school, you can take a visit to the school. I took an official visit to Mexico State as well. And I visited the campus before, actually, I think I signed before I took my visit. So then I took my visit after I signed, and I loved it. So I stayed, and yeah.
And how does one get to Las Cruces, New Mexico from Australia?
Oof. Three, four flights, four, five flights if it's a bad flight path. I think one time my mum did it. She said it was over like 38 hours of like total travel time, or 40 hours of total travel time. So it was crazy. But wasn't too bad. At least it's not on the east side of America. It could be worse. But once you get there, you know, I'm never bothered by jet lag that much. But the culture is definitely very different from Australia to New Mexico, Las Cruces, where I was.
What was that freshman experience like? I mean, obviously we know you transferred after that, but competitively the team was really good. You won the WAC conference title. You went to the NCAA tournament, ironically playing here in San Diego. What do you remember about that year?
Yeah, it was a very competitive year. It was a culture shock for me, really, when I first got there. Like competitively, the athleticism, the speed of the game, like just the whole college aspect as well, thrown on top of it, like the dorm rooms, like the dining halls, like everything all at once. It was like so different from anything that I've experienced. And it took me a little bit to adjust, but I did, and I loved it. And it was my freshman year was so enjoyable, and it was a great experience for me, and I really loved it.
What were some of the biggest cultural adjustments you had to make?
I mean, the living on campus, the dining hall was like just when the food halls were open, where all the classes were, like it was, that actually was crazy. I mean, living away from home is also a big part of it too. But, and then like going to the locker rooms at, right in the arena was and getting ready like straight after school was just totally different than anything that you would do when I was back home. So it took a little bit for me to adjust, but it was good. And competitively, the athleticism and the speed of the game, it was different than what I expected, and it took me a little bit to catch up, but I think I got there towards the end.
If you were talking to one of your mates now and wanted to let them know what the college experience is like in the US and kind of the big adjustments and how you kind of settled in, what would you tell them?
I'd tell them to enjoy it. Enjoy the experience. It's tough, but it's a once in a lifetime and you can't not take it. It's a great experience. I'm very thankful for it. Especially the freshman year. The freshman year in the culture shock, the learning the entire like college life is just great. And what else would I have to tell them? I don't know. Just tell them to get ready. Get ready to go. It starts full pace.
Had you spent any time in the US before that? I mean, of any significance?
I had, but I was always with like Australian teams and Australian people. It was never like, I was coming over like, well, I went to Adidas Nations during when I was high school twice, which is in like Long Beach. And I came before that, again, when I was in high school, just on an American trip with the basketball program that I was in. So I'd been around like California a little bit, but I hadn't really experienced America a great deal or been involved in any programs in America.
So you've done that back and forth several times. How do you pass the time on the flight? Or flights, plural.
Yeah, the flights, they suck. They get worse every time you do it, I think. I just love it. It's starting to hate them even more. So what do I do? Sometimes I just watch movies the entire time and then I try and fall asleep. And if I don't, I just keep watching movies. And if I do, great, I fall asleep. I don't really think too much of it. I'm going to put my headphones in and listen to some music and watch some movies and then try and sleep as much as I can. But it is what it is.
So let's go back to your time at New Mexico State. Mm-hmm. At what point did you decide you might want to look elsewhere and how did that come about?
It was at the end of the year. We had a meeting with the coaches and we both kind of came to that it was best for me to look at other places, just for both sides. So then I guess my name went in the portal, the transfer portal, and then the school started to reach out to me and they were, and then I was still able to work out with New Mexico State. I was still going to practice with them or the workouts and still be able to lift, which was really good from them. And other schools started reaching out to me and I was talking to other schools and UCSD reached out.
And I got there. And why did you ultimately choose to come to UC San Diego?
Well, San Diego is beautiful. And I already actually knew the school because they did – were one of the schools that reached out to me before when I was in high school. I'd already spoke to Brendan Clara, the other Australian assistant coach, and Coach Olin about going to UC San Diego, but it just didn't work out academically with my high school grades transferring to UC San Diego, as it's a very highly academic school. But Clara did reach out to me before then, and so then he reached out now. So I already knew the relationship. I already had a relationship with them, so they were really good. And then I could transfer a lot easier with the grades from New Mexico to the grades academically with UC San Diego. And it's San Diego. It's a great place. It's a beautiful area. It's a great program. So it was hard to say no to.
In that summer, did you go back home or did you come straight from New Mexico to San Diego?
That summer, I went home because UC San Diego started later as they're on the quarter system than what the semesters that New Mexico was on. So I had time to go home. So I went home for a couple of months before I went to UC San Diego.
And so now you've been in the States for a year, so you've presumably gotten past some of that culture shock. But what was the adjustment like going to a more rigorous academic institution in UC San Diego while also, of course, trying to gel with new teammates and so on?
It was definitely a different, it wasn't a crazy culture shock this time. Like, I got used to the college system pretty quick in New Mexico State and on my freshman year on the dorms and stuff. So I was living off campus. I was living off campus when I came to UCSD. So I had all that handled and it was fine. There wasn't really many crazy adjustments there, but, I don't know. I had to get used to the sun. I had to start wearing sunblock and get used to going on the beach again, seeing some water. Academically, it was different. Just the pace of the classes and the what the teachers expect from you was a lot more UC San Diego than it was at my older school. But it was good. I like the education here. It's been good for me. I've liked all the courses I've been doing, and I think I've kept up pretty good. I haven't fallen behind, even with the basketball, so it's been good.
Has it been helpful, or maybe when you first arrived, was it particularly helpful having folks like Coach Clowry on staff, who, of course, are from Australia as well?
Yeah, Clowry really did help me. He got all the tough stuff when you move places sorted. So he's helped me with finding a house, and he's helped me with furniture stuff and all the other things. He really helped me out, which was good. And there was another transfer from Minnesota. He was at Milwaukee University, I think, Remy, and I moved in with him, and we kind of helped each other throughout the entire transfer life, and it was good living with him, and we helped each other, and yeah, it was easy.
And of course, as fate would have it, your former teammate from Victoria, Hugh Baxter, who went to Colgate University in upstate New York, ended up coming to UC San Diego as well. What was that like when all of a sudden you guys were reunited?
Yep, had to help him go from the snow to the heat. gave him a lot of sunblock. No, it was good. It was great to see a familiar face. It was good to hear an Aussie accent. He helped me keep my accent instead of turning me into a full American. So it was good to have him around. It's been great living with him.
And of course, one thing that didn't really change is the success your programs have had. As we mentioned, in New Mexico State, that team went to the NCAA tournament, and then here at UC San Diego, your first couple of years with this program in Division II, winning the conference tournament and going to the NCAA tournament. How has it been this year, knowing that the wins are much tougher to come by now that this program is elevated to Division I?
It's been good. I mean, it's always been competitive, and I've liked being a competitive program that's been winning. I mean, in wherever you are, you always want to go there and someone's competitive and it wins. And I've been thankful enough. I mean, good programs with great coaches and competitive teams have been really good.
How different has this season been in terms of all the additional protocol just to get on the court and practice and ultimately play a game?
At the start, it was definitely very different. And all the having to wear masks while practicing and all the rules are in place and testing all the time and antigen tests, and there's been so much different stuff and just how we have to, go by every day just thinking about COVID is crazy, and it really did impact the start of the season. It still impacts it now. I mean, games have been cancelled and it's tough to kind of get through and stay positive all the time, but, thankfully we haven't had a case on the teams. We've been able to keep practicing and being able to compete, which is good, but it's definitely had an impact on the season.
And what does that say about the resiliency of your group? The fact that you have to just be able to adjust on the fly and go with schedule changes or cancellations or postponements that, may have nothing at all to do with your team or your program.
Yeah, we keep turning up up every day, and that's just big feelings for our team. I mean, we come in to compete, and you know, it's tough. It's been tough on everyone. I mean, it's just hats off to all the boys. Keep turning up every day and keep competing. But you know, we have to fight. We have to dig deep. I mean, we're a small team, as I said, and I mean, that's what you have to do when you're small. You have to keep fighting. So we're used to it now, and so we just have to keep turning up every day, I guess.
And what about for you? Are there mental adjustments or other adjustments that you have to make starting a game as opposed to coming in off the bench as you had in prior seasons?
A little bit. Not really. I mean, there's just different roles everybody plays in the team, but I feel like coming off the bench or starting doesn't really change your role on the team as per se, but it is a little bit of an adjustment, but I think I was ready for it. And I mean, we haven't started the year the way we wanted to, and but I mean, I feel like we'll get some momentum soon, hopefully we'll start going, but it's been good. You know, Coach Allen's been good to us.
What about classes? I know most everything is virtual or done online these days due to the pandemic, but what kind of adjustment was that?
Well, I have my big PC set up, so I like being stuck inside on my PC and being able to do my schoolwork on here. So that's been good for me. Online school is nice, but it definitely was an adjustment having to, you know, not go to school, but I guess it gave us more time just to dedicate to basketball, which is, it should be good. I mean, so it's easy to, you know, go to basketball every day if that's the only thing that we, you know, if you have to, you have to do. So that's a reason why we keep going. And the school's definitely, it's changed. It's definitely been tough. It was really tough when I was back in Australia and I had to take an online semester. I had to go home because of COVID. That was one of the tougher quarters I've had to do. But now I'm back here in America. It's been all right, and I've adjusted to it now. But starting the online academics was difficult.
So was that when the NCAA tournament was canceled in March?
Yes,
and the pandemic first hit? The university moved to online classes for the spring quarter, and that's when you went home?
Yeah, it was recommended by Australian government that anybody outside of Australia goes home. When the pandemic first came around, and at the time, I'm thankful that my parents made the decision for me to go home. But the online quarter was difficult.
I can imagine with the time change.
Yeah, yeah. So one of my classes was like 3 a.m. in the middle of the night. It wasn't great.
And I don't mean this in a political sense at all, but I'm guessing the way that your home country handled the pandemic has been quite different than what we've had here in the States.
Yes, it was different. Well, even the way the pandemic was treated from my state to Victoria or the rest of Australia was also different, as my Tasmania is like a little island off the bottom of Australia. So that was, yeah, it was different handled there too. But yeah, it's definitely Australia and America were definitely handled it differently.
So when you went home, although again, at the time the pandemic was relatively new, mm-hmm. Was that an adjustment for you to kind of figure out what the rules were?
Yeah, it never got to anything crazy. I did have to do 2 weeks quarantine when I went home, but I was like, I'd stay in my own house, so that was fine. And everything was shut for a little bit when I got home, like gyms and things weren't open, but it was like 1 or 2 weeks they weren't open for, and then they opened up, and then so I started going to the gym again. I started helping Dad at his chicken shop, and started playing basketball again. So and like no face mask rules were ever like implemented. It was just like bars and clubs were closed, and then you couldn't be in like big groups or anything crazy. It was like socially distant, but there was never a mask rule. So
Gabe Hadley is our guest this week on TritonCast. I know you have an interest in online gaming. How did that come about?
Um, online gaming. I mean, I've just been a gamer ever since I was a little kid, I guess. I had consoles all my life, and then I eventually worked my way up through the PlayStation ranks and then bought a PC, and then I've just been, you know, I just love gaming, so I've always been involved in it, and it's just a good hobby to have on the side of turning mine up basketball when I have to.
What was the first gaming system you ever owned?
It was a Nintendo 64. I think. Yeah.
You still have it?
Yes, it's my grandparents. My grandparents have it still. Somewhere over their house.
That's fantastic.
Yeah.
What are some of your favorite games?
From the Nintendo 64 or just all time?
All time.
All time. I spent a lot of time now playing Fortnite. I think Fortnite's one of the greatest games that's ever been made. It's crazy. It's changed the gaming world. Call of Duty's always been great. I'm a big Destiny fan. I love Destiny. Destiny 1 was a great game. Metal Slug's a classic for the arcade gamers. It's a real oldie. What else? I play all types of games, so I could go on for days. I just love all types of games, but that'd be my favorite ones that I could say.
When you have some time to play, is that almost how maybe some people might approach music? It depends on your mood as far as which game you'll play.
Yeah, that's a good way to put it, actually. Yeah, I never really thought about it like that, but yeah, I guess that's a good way to play it, how I play games. So, you know, I play some horror games too, so I guess it's type of just like genres, types of games you can play. It's like picking a movie, kind of like picking a game, picking a type of music, yeah.
Now, speaking of music, what are some of your favorite types? Or artists?
I feel like hip-hop and rap is a big cultural thing for basketball, so I listen to a lot of that, Australia listens to a lot of alternative music. I can only say that in an American accent. That was weird. Alternative music, like bands like Sticky Fingers, DMAs, Catfish in the Bottom, and like that kind of music. Ocean Alley, like the big Australian bands. I listen to some like folk music, not really rock music, kind of like indie rock, I guess. I listen to some country music here and there, but I'm not a big country fan.
Being that Australia is surrounded by water, did you grow up surfing?
No, I didn't grow up surfing. I boogie boarded, I skim boarded. I never really surfed. I learned how to surf at Byron Bay. But I was never a big surfer. I could surf. I could stand up on a board, but I've never been great.
Gotcha. So that's not something that you're doing in free time.
I'm not really a surfer. I wish I was. If I had the time, I might take it up, but not.
I don't know, man. Soon. Sharks.
Yeah. Sharks. I'm not a big fear of sharks. You might be. That's an American thing.
Maybe, but you can't see them coming. That's the thing, right?
Yeah, but they're not there. I don't think I'm gonna get. They're just not there. I don't know the thing about them.
What are some of your favorite places that you've traveled? Whether it was maybe family vacation or whether it was traveling to compete with a travel team, anything like that.
Bali. I went there with my parents. That was great. Bali's great. It's in Indonesia, I'm pretty sure.
How old were you?
16. No, I must have been 18. 18, I think I might have been. Yeah, sounds right. Where else have I been? I mean, California was great to visit. Los Angeles was cool. I've been to Vegas, which was great.
Any kind of dream or bucket list vacations you've got that you still want to hit up?
I have dream ones. Yeah, I want to go to Greece and I want to go to Maldives. They're up there on my supposed to visit. Definitely like a Europe trip. I do really want to travel. I did plan or wanted to travel after this year, but Corona kind of put that on a halt.
Yeah, I know. Well, yeah. Fortunately, you've still got time to hit all these places.
Yeah, I do. and I will.
Good. Awesome. Well, we look forward to following that on your social media accounts.
Yeah.
Gabe Hadley, our guest on TritonCast, you're a human development major. What is it that you want to do in real life?
I'm actually a public health major.
All right.
Now I changed that after my first year, but that's not that much. Probably a little bit of a difference, but public health has been great. Human development was good. What I wanted to do after college was I wanted to be a physiotherapist, which is a physical therapist here. So just like work in sports and with athletes and that was my goal. I think public health was the closest thing I could do to that here at UC San Diego, and I've liked being in public health. That's kind of opened my thinking of what I want to do after school too. So it's been good for me, and the classes have been great. Actually, I love the classes I've been in.
Would you like to pursue playing, or is this kind of it for you?
No, I will definitely be pursue playing. Playing basketball is what I want to do. Yes.
And so are you open to going wherever that may take you in the world?
Yes. I most likely will be going back to Australia to play basketball. Probably the most realistic goal for me right now is to do with like Corona and all that. I feel like going back to Australia and playing after this year will be on my top priority of things to do.
And is that, do you see yourself long-term staying in Australia?
Yeah. Definitely for the short future, playing basketball-wise anyway, for the next so years. And after that, I'll see, but I definitely want to be in Australia. I live in Australia. It's definitely the home for me, so.
How would you compare, how would you describe Tasmania compared to mainland Australia, for those of us who've not been?
I tell people, and this makes my mom laugh, I tell people it's like the Hawaii of America, but the climate and tropic is absolutely not like Hawaii. It's just an island off the side. Yeah, that's how I try and explain it. But it's definitely, it gets cold, it gets hot, it doesn't snow much, but it frosts like crazy. It's super icy. Tasmania, it's small, very coastal, Australia. It's still, it's close to the mainland. It's like a 45-minute flight from Melbourne to Launceston. So it's not crazy far away. You can take a boat, Spirit of Tasmania. It's like a 12-hour trip, maybe less.
Oh, wow. That's kind of far, though.
Yeah.
So that's obviously not the efficient way to do it.
No, you definitely fly. Yeah, boating's not great, but you just do that. If you were to take your car over, you would just take the Spirit and go across. But yeah, most people fly.
So I want to go back to the travel piece, because this fascinates me. So to get from Launceston, you go to Melbourne, and then to what, Los Angeles, and then here, something like that?
Sometimes. Sometimes I go from Launceston. I either go to Launceston to Melbourne or Sydney, and then from either of those two, you can go to LA and then drive to San Diego, or LA and fly to San Diego, or I've been from both to San Francisco, fly to San Diego.
That's fascinating. That's,
yeah.
Very, how often?
And the New Mexico one, if you like this, is from either of those two to Dallas, to El Paso, and then drive to Las Cruces.
And what was it like learning to drive on the other side of the road?
I actually haven't.
Okay.
Had to do that yet. I haven't. I don't have a car. I haven't had to drive around here. I've survived without it, which has been good. I haven't had to get my American license. So, yeah. I'm not sure how legal it is for me to drive with my license also. Someone told me once it's not legal, so I just haven't drove.
I guess that's not the worst thing, right?
Yeah, I mean, yeah, I get away with it. It's good. No one asked me for lifts or anything.
What do you miss most about home?
driving. Family, I guess, family and friends. Just the home, just being at home. But what was it I missed? The chicken palms, chicken parmigiana. It's done very differently than in America to Australia.
It is? How so?
Yeah, it's just done better. No, it's the chicken's a lot bigger. The it's chicken, sort of like the tomato paste or whatever, and the ham, cheese, and they just do it really well. There's no pasta, and then it comes with like just battered fries, and it's just huge and like thick, and it's really good. And you usually have it with a beer, and it's great.
Sounds legit.
Yeah. What else did I miss? I don't know. It's hard to say. I've got so used to America that I don't really think about what I miss in Australia anymore.
How often do you get home during an average school year, I guess?
I've been home twice since I've been in America.
Oh, that's it?
Yeah.
All right. So not often at all.
No, not often. Not often, no.
Have your parents been able to come see you play in person ever?
Yeah. Yeah, they've come over every year except for this year. They do a really good job getting over. They come over for like around Christmas time when they get some time off work, and then a pop have been over too. My brother's never been over here. Dad came over here once. Dad works all the time, works a lot, so it's been tough for him to get over here, but he's always watching. Yeah, they've gotten over here a few times. It's been good to see him, and they do.
And what's the time difference?
Is it 16 hours right now? I think they're 16 hours ahead.
Wow. I can't even do that math.
I can't tell you what it is. I don't know. I don't think about it anymore. I just look at my phone when I need to. I just look it up.
So even something as simple as a phone call or FaceTime, whatever. I mean, how complicated is it to schedule that?
Yeah. I always know I got to wait until like 3 o'clock in the afternoon before I can call home. Otherwise I'm going to be waking mom up. And then they're always calling me when it's like 12 o'clock at night sometimes, because that's when they're just getting home from work or something like that. But that's how I tell what the difference in time is. But kind of used to it now. I mean, we're always texting all the time. It's so easy to get a hold of each other these days with social media and stuff. I'm always keeping up with what I'm doing. So it's not too bad. We get by, but it's definitely tough being away from home so long.
That's so interesting. Gabe Hadley, our guest on TritonCast. You ready to play some quick picks?
Quick picks. Okay. Okay.
Pool or ocean?
Ocean.
Sunrise or sunset?
Sunset.
Favorite food in America that you didn't have back home?
Sorry, the start of the question cut out.
Favorite food here in America that you did not have back home?
Oh, Hot Pockets.
That's fascinating. That might be the most interesting answer we've ever had.
It's just very American. And good snack.
I think I was thinking more along the line of a type of food, but that's an awesome type answer.
What type of food? Mexican.
I'm good with Hot Pockets. That's fascinating. That was awesome.
Yep.
What's one thing about you that would surprise even your friends that they wouldn't know?
Oh, God, I can't even do a quick one on that. That's going to be a long answer. I'm pretty...
Go ahead. We got time.
I know. I talk a lot with my friends. I'm pretty close to a lot of people, so they know a lot about me. But a lot of people probably wouldn't know that... I put tomato sauce on nearly everything I eat.
And that's not, to be clear, that's not ketchup, right? You're talking about what we would call marinara or whatever.
No, that is what you would call ketchup.
Oh, yep. Got it. Okay. Well, then I'm on the same, yeah, same sorry. Page. Oh, that's great. Yeah. I'm in agreement on that one. I love ketchup.
Yep.
Does it taste the same in Australia? Is it more or less the same as our ketchup?
No, I think it does taste different, but I couldn't tell you what. I just think it does taste different. Maybe.
But ours is okay. More, it does
yours
the trick.
Yours is more sweet, maybe more sugary, but they're still both very good. No complaints on either end.
I'm sure ours is more sweet. I feel like ours is sugary everything.
Yeah, that'd be the one I'd have to say, something like that, yeah.
Do you have any game day superstitions as you get ready for a game?
Not really. No. Not very superstitious in that kind of way. I just do my shoes up however, tie my laces however, I put my clothes on however. I don't have any superstitions really, no.
Specific type of music or a specific song that kind of gets you in the mood before you go hit the court to warm up?
It's just my regular playlist. Just shuffle and do with what comes on. I like all my songs. I don't really, yeah.
What's your favorite holiday?
Oh, Christmas. Christmas. Australia Day is a close second, but Christmas is my favorite.
And is Australia Day, is that roughly the equivalent to our July 4th Independence Day?
Yeah. Yeah, I think so. Yeah.
But that's coming up. Australia Day is coming up later this month.
It is 26th.
And so what does one do to celebrate that?
Hang out with your friends, crack a couple of cold beers, and that's about it. Just hang out, listen to music. In Australia, you listen to the top 100, which is like the top 100 songs of the year beforehand. There's like a vote and everybody sends their votes in, and then you sit around a pool or sit on the beach and listen to that, and there's your day.
That's really cool. I love that. Yeah, because yeah, it's summertime, it's really right? Good.
Yeah, summertime. Yeah, so yeah, it's great. It's always hot around Christmas, which is good. So it's been different Christmas in the cold over here. Well, San Diego's not cold, but
yeah. It's all relative.
Yeah.
Writing or reading?
Reading.
Books, magazines, novels. What do you read or do you?
Like articles about things I'm interested in. I read a lot about. I'm not into reading big, long books or anything like that. I actually have thought about starting to get into it, but I haven't found a book that I would want to read. I'm very specific in what I do read. Just like about my hobbies, sports, like medicine, things that interest me that I like reading into.
iPhone or Android?
iPhone.
First celebrity crush?
Wow. Megan Fox, Transformers.
Very specific. I like it.
Yeah.
favorite flavor of ice cream?
Cookie dough.
And is ice cream similar in Australia to what we know as ice cream?
Yeah. Ice cream's ice cream. It's good.
Yeah, it's tough to have bad ice cream, even if it's not the best. One Australian food you mentioned, chicken parmy already, but give us another one that you miss that we either don't do at all or we don't do well here.
Lamingtons.
What's
party
that?
Party pies, sausage rolls, I can name a few. Lamingtons are like a spongy cake covered in this icing, and then it's covered in like rolled in coconut, and like they're like squares. That's called a Lamington.
So would you get that at a restaurant after dinner, or is that something you buy in like the freezer
you
case?
You just buy it at like a supermarket.
Got it.
And yeah, just have a snack.
And what else? I cut you off. You had a couple others.
Party pies.
What's that?
Pies in general. We do a lot more pies.
Is that like a meat pie? Like a savory?
A meat pie, yeah. But then you can get different flavors, like bacon, different meats, and like potato pies, and just a lot more pies. A lot more savory stuff and like bakeries is what I've noticed. But yeah, and sausage rolls is like sausage in like a pastry, like a sausage roll and pastry.
So is that sort of a pigs in the blanket like we have here or not really?
Similar, but they're done a lot bigger, like sausage rolls, like they're kind of like pigs in a blanket, but not.
But not like appetizer bite size. They're more like full size deals.
Yeah, yeah.
That's so interesting. What's the deal with Vegemite?
Ooh, I like Vegemite. People in America say it's a lot more, it's very salty and they're not real fans. But you have to do it right. You can't just take a spoonful of Vegemite and eat it. You got to like spread it properly with the right amount of butter and on a good toast, and then it's good.
So it's a toast topping. Is that sort of right?
Basically, yeah. I wouldn't have it on anything else. Or you can have like Vegemite scrolls, I guess. It's like a scroll with like Vegemite kind of like infused in it, I guess. But yeah, Vegemite's kind of just a toast thing. I like crumpets or like muffins. Vegemite on them is good. Yeah.
Where is the most beautiful place in Australia that you've been?
Oh, most beautiful place?
or if you've been telling one of us who was going to go over there for the first time, the one thing we have to go see for ourselves.
A lot of beautiful places. I went to Hamilton Island when I was younger. That place was beautiful. Byron Bay is beautiful. Any of the coastal areas are beautiful. There's stuff to go wrong. Queensland's great. If you're going to visit Australia, I'd say visit Queensland. It's very tropical, but Melbourne's one of the most beautiful cities I've seen. I can't wait to get back and see Melbourne again.
Could you see yourself ending up living in a place like Melbourne?
Yeah, definitely. Definitely could.
I've heard it's absolutely beautiful.
Yeah, it is. I've heard, I guess, compared to Chicago, but not cold.
Well, Gabe, thank you so much for the time. We appreciate it.
No worries. Thank you for having me on. I really appreciate it. It's been fun.
What a great conversation with Gabe. I feel like I learned so much about Australian culture from that conversation. From Australia Day to food. It really struck me that they call ketchup, tomato sauce over there? That was so interesting.
Absolutely. And being a big ketchup guy myself, it's good to know in case I ever get there one day, which Australia is definitely on my list. And Jenny, this will surprise you not in the least, but I think my big takeaway was the Hot Pockets. Really, Gabe? That's what you're coming away with? Man, no disrespect at all. I like a good Hot Pocket, but if that's what we in the U.S. are responsible for exporting, I feel like we can do better.
That moment definitely struck me too. But hey, if that's what he likes, then that's what he likes.
Fair enough.
Coming up on episode 31 of TritonCast, we meet Dr. Matt Kritz, UC San Diego's Senior Associate Athletic Director for Athletic Performance. The Triton's Athletic Performance Unit is leading the way with a groundbreaking approach to scholar-athlete development. You won't want to miss our conversation with Matt. New episodes of TritonCast premiere each Wednesday.
You definitely won't want to miss that conversation. Thank you so much for listening to this week's show. And don't forget, you can find us on all your favorite podcast platforms like Amazon Music, Apple Podcasts, Audible, iHeartRadio, Spotify, Stitcher, and TuneIn. For more on TritonCast, follow us on Twitter at TritonCast. And if you've got suggestions for a future guest, send us a tweet or email Jenny and me. We can be reached at TritonCast@ucsd.edu. We'll see you back here next week.
You've been listening to TritonCast. TritonCast is a production of UC San Diego Athletics Communications. Please subscribe, rate, and review this podcast on your platform of choice. If you have show questions or comments or suggestions for future guests, email us at TritonCast@ucsd.edu. You can also follow the show on Twitter @TritonCast.